What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Here with a man who's glad we're finally out of the commercial break for the conversation he had to endure. From StudyBaltimore.com's own Ken McCusick. What's going on, Ken?
Life's good, Rob. How about you?
It's good. It's good. Look, man, we're going to get into the film, but I've been holding this question since Sunday just for you. Losses like that last year and this year often cause windows to close quickly because human nature kicks in and people start finger pointing. That loss for me with the mistakes that were made when they were made, I'm not just talking about Mark Andrews, in general, that to me, that scares me as one of those window closing losses.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of blame to be thrown around here, and people are certainly pointing the finger when you go online. I think as you go through this game, the Ravens had a game plan that was extremely effective moving the football.
It wasn't coaching.
With the exception of the – so I don't blame the coaching. You know, there are people who will want to blame Lamar. I think that's a load of crap. I mean, he played very well in the game with the exception of the two turnovers. Not completely non-culpable, but not the primary reason. The defense played well. They allowed 4.4 yards per play. You know, there's nothing that they did that I would be really unhappy about. Henry had a drop, but otherwise obviously ran the ball effectively. Andrews, of course, is the one who, for good reason, has not been made available to the media in the locker closeout day. And I think this is something he's going to have to bear for at least 12 months. And I hope he gets another chance to play with the Ravens next year, but you never know because it's a big salary cap number. There was already kind of pressure that we talked about all season in terms of the possibility of trading him.
It felt like the players were kind of alluding to it, and they're the ones that did speak, like, hey, the team's just going to look so different next year.
Yeah.
So
they know.
So Ken, I believe, I think maybe all three of us believe, these are the best Ravens teams in the history of the franchise. This season, 13-4, and of course this year I think they were the best team in football. What's missing? Why do they keep losing in the playoffs?
I mean, you know, some of this is small sample size, but obviously Lamar's not played as well. Going into the playoffs, I completely agree with you. I think they were the best team in football. I think, by DVOA, they've been two of the greatest teams in the history of that metric these last 2 years, the fifth and seventh best. To me, it's not acceptable. It's not something that you can do, but you don't blow up the franchise for it either, is the other part of this.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like the answer is to get rid of Lamar Jackson, but one fear that I've carried kind of each year is that Lamar's not a great cold weather quarterback. I think at least if you're talking about that narrative, I think some of that was disproven on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, he played a very good game in cold weather, good enough to win. And it didn't work out for other reasons. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to look at his stats below 40 degrees. That narrative doesn't hold water. He's got incredible passing stats when the weather's cold.
But there's hardly any evidence that's under 25 or 26 degrees. In fact, this was his first game, I think, under 26.
I think they only gauge it under 40. It's you know, they get the freezing and stuff, but that's what we saw.
I don't know who's good under 30 degrees, man. That's tough.
Yeah. Well, who's the geek that's got to look that up? I mean, that sucks, man. You got to go, hey, let's check out the temperature times for all the games and make sure we chart them.
It's actually really easy to do that with Stathead. Yeah, it's right there.
It's crazy to me. Like the
see,
like
you, say sorry.
No, I don't need to... Ken I said, what geek? There is a geek. Ken's the geek. No, he's not kidding. Ken, in all honesty, when you look at just the way that the teams assembled and all the things they had, it gets weird, and I know Ed kind of alluded to it, when you look back at these games going, how did that – I mean, Josh Allen threw for 127 yards.
Yeah.
And you have three turnovers, the crazy penalty before the half, two missed two-point conversions, which the play design – they all look like the same two-point conversion to me, one to the left, one to the right, with a similar setup. If you go back to the Steelers game, they also ran this against somebody else, or maybe in the first half, and then you look at this one. But he's wide open. I heard Chris Sims try to say that Lamar could have thrown a better pass. Like, which hands – where did you want the hands to be when he hit him in him?
Right.
How do you feel about all this? Because it's like – it does feel like weird things happen, and there's no explanation, and it gives validity to the people that say Lamar's a choker in the postseason because the record.
You know, there's not really any good answer for it right now is all I'll say. It's frustrating as hell as a fan. You know, we went up to Buffalo to brave the cold. I put in air quotes because we've got broilers on overhead as they're going. But it's extremely frustrating to watch the Ravens lose this way, and yet it's also, I think, silly to point the blame in some directions that doesn't belong.
And just to piggyback, like, I know you're a numbers guy, I'm a math guy as well, but there's nothing I look at and go, this is the reason why. I mean, it's easy enough to say turnovers, but some of the turnovers have been just really goofy. Some of them are effort plays. Like, Mark Andrews hadn't fumbled since 2019. Zay Flowers fumbled through the end zone. The fumble that Lamar has gets scooped and picked all the way up for a first and goal, you know, like... It's just weird when you go back and look at the stats and say, how did that game finish the way that it did?
And ball security's been a priority of the team the entire year. They've been very good at it. And you know, they haven't had a bunch of fumbles this year. They haven't had a bunch of interceptions, obviously, this year. And then you get an interception and you get a couple fumbles in this game and it looks really bad.
Ken McCusick joins us, filmstudybaltimore.com.
Hi, Ken. Did we give the ball to Derrick Henry enough? It seemed like they just stopped running here after a while. Your first half, it wasn't that successful, but then you see him bust off long plays just like he always does. It seems to get, you know, steam as the game goes on. It seems like they went away from him.
They ran the ball 30 times. They passed it 27. You don't get better play balance than that. Mm-hmm. I think, as soon as you get really extreme, you're usually giving something away, and often you do that when you have the lead. The Ravens didn't have that, so they had to still pass the ball. On the last drive, obviously didn't have an option other than to pass the ball. Well, I won't get into that too much, but there may have been some clock management that they could have run the ball a couple more times. I'm not concerned at all about the number of carries. I thought they ran the ball plenty and incredibly effectively. All four guys who ran the ball, Lamar, Andrews, who got a couple conversions, Hill, and Henry, all ran the ball very effectively. And they passed the ball even more effectively at 8.9 yards per play. So I don't know what there is to argue about that. I hear it, but I don't know.
How did we lose this game?
The only issue that I had as far as running, and I think Joe made a great point, if Mark Andrews doesn't fumble, I think Derrick Henry's getting over 20 carries. The context of the game and where they were at, obviously you're not going to see Derrick Henry on the field more than likely in a two-minute drill. But I go back to when it was first and goal from the one, and you run it on first down, it's like, I'm not trying to be that guy, but I'm going to be. I'm running it four times from there.
Absolutely. I didn't get it. I didn't get the game.
And then you end up taking, a sack on the next play, or maybe it wasn't a sack, a tackle for loss, and you're going, well, now it doesn't make sense to run it on third down because you did that.
Yeah.
So that's the only issue I had. Was there anything else that really stood out in the game to you? I mean, we talked about penalties. People get frustrated over some of the things that happen. You're going to get those calls, but... we've seen it before when a call affects a scoring play, basically, and that's essentially what it was, because they were going to have to attempt a damn near 50-yard field goal at that point. And if they miss, you still have a minute and 13 to go down. Even if they make it, you got a minute and 13 to try to go down. I just look back at some of the missed opportunities that were had in that game, and penalties can be one of those things that cause it.
Ken, I need you to answer that on the other side, because we're up against it right now. And the missed opportunities of the Baltimore Ravens in the divisional round versus the Buffalo Bills. Ken would be right here up next on The Fan. 8:15 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ken McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com. Now, Jeremy, before the break, revisit the question that you asked Ken, if you remember.
No, I ain't talking to you. You know, it is funny when Rob calls you out when you say something stupid, and then we have to work more to just call him out when he says something dumb, because I am listening to every effing word you say the rest of the show. I was talking about the penalties, Ken, and how much of an impact they've had. A lot of people have been bitching about the refs. I don't think the pass interference play cost the Ravens the game, as you had many, many opportunities. But what I don't understand is, in a game where they're reviewing things as the game's going along, why is that not one thing that's reviewed? So when it comes down to penalties, how do you feel about referees having an impact on the game? People have been bitching about the Chiefs for God knows how many years now getting all the calls.
No, there's a general problem with quarterbacks calling for calls on the field that I really hate. So I'd like everything to be reviewable. I'd like to have flop rules. I'd like to have fake slide rules that would be a 15-yard penalty and a down at the time you fake the slide kind of thing. So it's like an intentional grounding or it's a significant penalty.
I went back to that pass interference call because to me it's OPI or nothing. And if it's nothing, then it's almost a 50-yard kick. If it's OPI, you're pushing them back out of field goal range. Right. And it changes the game to me.
Yeah, and it... Right. So you're saying if it's nothing, if they had just declined the penalty, for example.
They would be kicking a 48, 49-yard field goal.
And that's, I think, what they would have done.
Mm-hmm. Or at least attempted. Because Bass, I know Bass kicked a long one in the game, but he hasn't been good this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Ken, I thought Nate Wiggins finished his rookie season out really strong. One of his better performances on Sunday.
Yeah, outstanding. One catch allowed for 7 yards. There's another on one of the 4x1 plays that Romo picked out. Like, running back goes right into the 3 wide receiver side, and they had some crossing action on the field there. He supposedly gave up a 13-yard play on that. I don't know how you charge it to him, but great game by Wiggins. Plays the run well. He should play every down next year. He's one of the really bright spots in terms of the future of the Ravens. They got him for 4 more years, probably.
What about the Ravens' defensive, the run defense? They had the best in the league last year, and I think they gave up more in that game than they had given up in a single game all season. They gave up substantially more than the average, and I just can't understand why.
The big problem to me was that the field conditions were such that their big men could be single-teamed on the play. And Buffalo didn't do it. They were extremely efficient with their combination blocks. For those who don't know, combination block, 2-on-1 block at the line of scrimmage, you're doubling up, and then one of those guys climbs to level 2 and finds a linebacker or finds another player to block there. But they were very effective at that. And the Ravens' big guys were like on roller skates. They can't set their feet mm-hmm. to deny a double team effectively. So even Travis Jones looked like he's having trouble. Michael Pierce was still effective in the game, but Travis Jones in particular was not himself. And Madubuike was really vulnerable to that sort of blocking.
Ken, as we get back into the game at hand and what happened in the end, any issues at all with what came down with the final drive? And I know you talked about Mark Andrews. You said it was good for the team to not make him available. What are your thoughts on that? Because there are a lot of people who just want to hear from you when you made a mistake.
Sure.
And whatever you say after making that mistake, it doesn't matter. Then they just pick you apart.
So the only comparable situation I can think about where a guy was made available to the media immediately was Tucker after the 2018 miss against the Saints when they lost, I think, 24-23, and Tucker missed the extra point, and he made himself available to the media. And he went up there, and first of all, the situation is a little different with Tucker because he's very comfortable in front of a crowd, extremely comfortable, being who he is. And he said, I'm going to have kids someday, I hope, and I want them to take responsibility for things, so I've got to do it. It's totally not normal to have a kicker who just missed a kick go to the podium. I don't think they were going to do that, and I don't think they really wanted to have Andrews in the locker room talking about it. I think he might bemoan what had happened.
Plus, you're very emotional at that time, too. You don't know what you're going to say.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Andrews seems like one of those guys, relatively humble, and I'm assuming, too, with that drop pass. Like, the fumble's one thing. That's an effort play. When you drop the pass, he just took his eye off it for a split second, in my opinion, to make sure he was set in bounds. And when he looked back, that's when he didn't have it.
When it compared it to the Jackie Smith drop.
Yeah.
He must be the sickest man in America right now. That's what it compared it to.
That's fair.
A normally sure-handed tight end who dropped the pass in the worst situation in the Super Bowl. Here with Ken McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, did you have any gripes whatsoever about clock management at any point during this game?
At the end of the game, when they're driving with 3 minutes to go and they had to go 88 yards, that would have been my gripe. I thought they needed to mix in some additional run because you need to score with under 30 seconds to play to make sure Allen doesn't have a response. So let's say Andrews had caught the 2-point conversion. They didn't have a really good chance to win that game at that point anyway, probably like 23-27% in that range, because you got a chance for Allen to drive right away, mm-hmm. and then you still got a chance to lose it in overtime if he doesn't. It was a tough situation.
The one thing I would say about that too is, but I like the Ravens' chances, and I know you understand what I'm saying. I felt like the Bills' defense was on the field most of the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. and I like that. Now, Josh Allen could have driven right down the field and scored. As a football fan, I'd have rather seen him do that and been impressed with what Josh Allen was doing. But when you only throw for 127 yards, I don't know that he's going to drive him down the field for a score. I don't know what's going to happen in overtime. The one gripe I had with the Ravens is when Marlon Humphrey went down with the injury, 2 minutes and change left, and you don't get the 10-second runoff. They weren't on the line when the ball was like, you had all this time. You should know what the effing play is. Get up to the line so you don't waste 25 seconds pointing out and doing all this other nonsense. Once the ball is set there, call your play.
He's getting heated up again.
Well, I mean, it's just a dumb thing that I don't know why teams aren't ready for this. It feels like coaches aren't ready.
You know, you do that vicious dog. You don't look him in the eye. That's why I'm looking off on the side. I have no idea what's on his television right now. I'm just not going to look him in his eye.
Shut up, man. do you feel the same? Like, it's one of those plays that it's minimalization of this because it's something that's small. But in the grand scheme of things, when you keep doing these things over and over again, you're not putting your best foot forward, in my opinion.
Sure. I mean, I always like dislike being not ready, particularly defensively when an offense is about to run a play. They had to make a change at that point to move our Darius Washington down to slot corner and put Stevens in at safety at that point. So there was a change that they had to make, and they had to figure out on the fly at least. It's not like they couldn't get the right 11 on the field or anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's situational.
Can't tell something that you learned about the Baltimore Ravens in this game.
Well, I just don't think there are any broad sweeping statements we can make after a loss like this. I don't think that the three plays involved merit like a big change. I think the Ravens' situation is very different from the Steelers in terms of the kind of coaching talent they have at the top. I think that the Tomlin, there's an actual probably good for Tomlin, probably good for the Steelers to get new DNA in there and have a different operation of what's going on. I don't think this is the case with the Ravens. I think they need to go into this offseason to hire a bunch of very good assistant coaches that'll keep the succession tree going a different way. I think those are the big things I take away from the game. It's, you know, it's a long wait for football. It's frustrating for everybody.
I misspoke. It was the Bateman injury, not Marlon Humphrey, because that's when the offense should have been lined up and ready to go after his injury. And you don't get the 10-second runoff because it's before the 2-minute warning.
Cam McCusick, talk about Film Study Baltimore.
At filmstudybaltimore.com, if you want podcasts or articles on the Ravens that dive into offensive line play or the defense in particular.
There you go. 410-583-1057 is the number. We'll see you next week. What's trending at 8:45, but on the other side, Ben Johnson hired, no longer with the Detroit Lions. What impact would he have on the Chicago Bears? Up next on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
8:30 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. What's trending at 8:45? Shovels at 9 o'clock, but right now, Ben Johnson, former offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, is now the head football coach for the Chicago Bears, Ed Norris. I think it's a brilliant move if you wanted him anyway, because not only do you make yourself better, but you weaken a divisional foe.
Who you faced twice a
year. Yes, I think it's a brilliant move. Yeah. What do you think Ben Johnson does in Chicago?
Well, I think it's a good addition for them because they have a quarterback. You know, they got DeAndre Swift. You got some talent there. Just haven't been able to get out of first gear or whatever. So I think it's a good move for them. So I don't know. We'll see, because it's hard to believe that's like the best division of football now.
Yeah, they didn't prove to be that.
No, but they still had sent 3 teams to the playoffs. That's pretty damn good. So, I mean, it's not the AFC West just because the Chiefs are there. That's a good division, man. So I think it's a good move for him. And again, you know, he knows the Lions really well. So hopefully, gives them a leg up on the Lions next year.
Jimmy Conn.
I said this.
Jimmy Conn.
It's a really weird year when you say, man, I can't believe that the Lions aren't in the NFC Championship because they got upset by Washington. When you say stuff like that, you realize that things are changing in this league and that you can turn around your team relatively quick if you have the right people. Ben Johnson is the right people. That guy, I mean, what he did with the Lions and what he's created from an offensive standpoint, he was the one that got to pick what job he wanted. Outside of maybe the Patriots wanting Vrabel for obvious reasons, I think he could have had any job he wanted that was open. So I think they got the best guy on the market. That's not me knocking Monken. I think Monken's really good.
But I think Johnson's the best guy on the market. Johnson's
been doing this at the NFL level a little bit longer.
So you like Johnson?
Yeah, I do. I mean, is he the guy that you would give the head job to, or would you pick somebody else that was on the market?
No, the head coaching job? Yeah, Johnson all the way.
All right, I'm just making sure.
Now, Jared Goff. I present to you Jared Goff. Passer rating of 86.5, 90, 91.5. All of a sudden, Ben Johnson becomes the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. Jared Goff goes from 3,200 yards, 19 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions to completing 65% of his passes, 4,400 yards, 29 touchdowns, and a passer rating from 91 to 99.3. Then he comes back the next year, 4,500 yards, completed 67% of his passes, 30 touchdowns, passer rating of 97.9. And then this past year, 4,600 yards, 37 touchdowns, a career high, completed 72% of his passes, a career high, and passer rating of 111.8, a career high. Then he threw 5 interceptions in 1 game.
Mm-hmm.
He only had 12 on a year. So in the other 16 games, only threw 7 interceptions. So you talk about having a young quarterback? Why else? Why wouldn't you get him? If he could turn Jared Goff into that, I mean, turning Lamar Jackson into Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is an exceptional talent. I'm taking nothing away from Todd Monken. But Lamar Jackson is exceptional talent. We all doubted Jared Goff. This guy was ran off from L.A. because his coach said, we can't win with him.
In the Super Bowl, the Patriots purposely did not show their defense until it was under 10 seconds on the clock. So he couldn't get up there, and then the offense couldn't call the play to change. He had that amoeba defense going on,
yeah,
and it confused the hell out of him. And we were all talking, does that dog hunt? We don't know.
I don't think he hunts either.
I just think this is what good coordinators do.
Exactly.
Ben Johnson put him in a position to succeed. The front office drafted offensive linemen, got him a running game. What happened? You got your pocket passer that now can be protected, run the football, set up play action. That's what Goff is good at.
So I got Todd Monken here. I got Ben Johnson there. Todd Monken has success with a generational talent. Take nothing away from him, but that's a generational talent. Ben Johnson has success with a guy who was jettisoned by a team who got better when he left. I'm taking Ben Johnson, the coach Caleb Williams. It's a no-brainer for me.
The two guys that I really liked this offseason as getting head coaching opportunities were both of the coordinators in the Lions. Aaron Glenn's been doing this for a long time, and I like to see him get an opportunity, which it sounds like it's going to be the Jets. When you see it, when a coach is special. Like, I think we saw it with Mike McDonald here for 2 years. Like, initially you're going, what the hell is going on with this guy? And then you're like, oh, look at this scheme. And make no mistake about it. With the Lions, it's play designs that Ben Johnson's a great play designer. You saw some of the goofy things that they were doing. But also on top of it, it's putting Jared Goff in the right position.
Wait a minute. Loudmouth Rex Ryan said McDonald was not
a genius, defensive genius.
Yeah, Rex Ryan is the biggest loudmouth blowhard there is, man. Seriously, they love him around here. But like, come on, dude, you had Hall of Famers around you. He had Hall of Fame. It's easy. The Rex Ryan moment I have when he was bumping his gums about running the 46 defense and Peyton Manning. I'm looking at it like, that doesn't look like the 46 defense to me. What do I know? Peyton Manning says, what did he say?
What?
That wasn't the 46 defense.
No.
I've seen the 46 defense before. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the 46. There wasn't no 46 defense. Man, shut up.
And by the way, I don't think Rex Ryan can bump his gums with those big-ass teeth. I don't think they've ever. They can't
He just runs his mouth all the time, man. That's all he does. I want to be the new head coach of the Jets. We've seen this movie before. Why? Stop. Shut up. Just continue to talk on TV. I'm sorry. I just don't like him.
Well, he kept talking like he was getting the Jets job. He goes, when I get there, this is what's going to happen. I ain't coming back to you for any reason.
And he's not gonna come in the building when he wants to. Okay. Okay.
We'll see what Aaron Rodgers is doing in Pittsburgh next year.
Exactly. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. You know, it's funny. Did you mention something about the Bears yesterday should have traded for Mike Tomlin?
No, we talked about that was brought up, that the Bears said they did kick the tires on it.
Right. So, and a friend of mine said, well, he can't trade him because there's a no-trade clause. Let me explain something to you. No-trade clauses aren't put in your contract so you won't get traded. No trade clauses put in your contract so you control where you get traded.
Yeah.
Because often people who have no trade clauses in their contract request trades. You just put that in there for control. You can't send me where you want to send me. You can only send me where I approve.
Yeah, I do think there are guys that put it in there just so they, family reasons, they don't want to leave, those type. But I agree with you. I think most of those guys, they're putting it in there so they have a decision to make when it comes down to it, and it's not your decision.
Not your decision, yeah. Exactly. I mean,
like the Bears made it clear that they're considering trading for a coach. That was their.
They didn't. Did they say what they were willing to offer? Because you had said you'd be willing to give up a first round pick. I would not be willing to do that.
I would have. I think probably it came down. I think maybe the Steelers, you know, at that conversation we had, the Steelers asked for a first round draft pick because I talked to them. I consulted them.
Nice, man. You, George Pickens, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, you guys all consulted them what they should do.
What'd I do to you?
Man, you don't even
want to
know.
You put me. That might be the 20 years, that might be the most insulting thing you have ever said to me. You put me with who?
I'll come up with something else.
Pickens, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
That's what you put me with.
Well, yeah, they were telling the Steelers what they should do, too.
Different. I'm different.
Okay, 2 Chainz.
I'm different.
2 Chainz.
Yeah, I'm different. Okay.
Yeah, I'm different, man.
I'm just waiting for your rap album to come out when you're on a jet ski.
I had a Nas comparison to having the roof open. Oh, I can't see it on there.
Oh, you can't pulled up to the scene with the ceiling missing?
I can't see it on there. 410-583-1057. Sam on Kent Island wants to talk Ravens. What's up, Sam?
Hey, how you all doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So looking back, past 6 years, seems like each playoff loss that we've had has, you know, been a good amount of turnovers, three turnovers, one turnover on our side. And I didn't know if that's something that it's something with scheme can fix, something with defensive playmakers, but it seems to be an issue that has kind of plagued the Ravens the past couple of years, and didn't know if there was any solutions out there that they can look at to prevent that happening.
I don't think so. I mean, just throwing the ball up in the air for nobody in particular, that's not scheme. Last year, Zay Flowers fumble at the goal line, that's not scheme. This year, the fumble by Mark Andrews, that's not scheme. No, we're not putting this on coaches. You know, last year, I kicked the coaches with both feet because they didn't run the football enough. This year, no. Mm-mm. That's players. All the way.
Again,
players all the way.
The only thing I went back to is, like, situationally, I would have ran the ball four times on first and goal, and I think a lot of people feel that way.
That's fine.
But, again, it didn't work out that way. You move on. The thing I'll go back to, yes, Lamar did turn the ball over two times in the first half, but he did everything you want an elite quarterback to do in the waning moments of a game and drive him down the field and come back. And he threw no matter what Chris Sims' sorry ass says, he threw a good pass to Mark Andrews.
He sure did.
And Mark would tell you 100 out of 100 times he needs to catch
that. He would, but he's not talking to the media. Good guy. Yeah. Good decision. Shovels at 9 o'clock, but only if he had a game-winning touchdown, he would look for the camera. He would run to the camera. But you drop a two-point conversion to tie it down, you don't want to talk to the media? Yeah, the media's fault. What's trending? National championship recap from last night. Ohio State. You know, it's weird when you win a national championship, but you're still not complete because you can't beat your rival. Only in college football. Baltimore's Big Band Morning Show on The Fan.
Ohio State has won the national championship. And a drenched Ryan Day and the jubilant Buckeyes are celebrating all over this field. As Day runs over to shake hands with Ohio State alum Marcus Freeman, the Buckeyes have won it 34-23 and a deserving national champion.
Courtesy of ESPN Radio Now. Listen, we can go back to the beginning of this tournament and see where it was flawed. Arizona State should not have received a bye. You just had some I don't think Tennessee should have been in. You just had some situations that Boise State shouldn't have received a bye, to be honest with you. They tried too much to be fair, Ed. Mm-hmm. However, at the end of the day, 12 teams is where we should be for the national championship tournament for football. I love it. Keep it. Make some tweaks. But I love it.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm very happy with the way the system worked out here. You know, I was skeptical at first because I didn't know how it was going to be. But when it came to the playoffs, I was like, oh, that's better than just picking somebody. Now it's like, I think the best team came out on top. It's the way it's supposed to work out.
See, I like everything that's set up. The one thing that I would disagree with is who they give byes to. I don't think because you win your conference, you should get a bye.
Absolutely.
I think the four best teams, according to the rankings, winning your conference should get you into the playoff. That's it. You know, you get an opportunity there. You got a handful of home games, and then the rest are all on the road.
Do you get a top seed in the NCAA tournament just because you won your conference?
No.
You got all of you. So you play they play damn near 40 games to decide. 35 games in college basketball to decide who the top teams are. Good. You won your conference tournament. You earn your way in an automatic bid. However, the resume is the regular season. I think sometimes in this system, the regular season is the resume to get you in, but it should also be the resume to earn your seeding as well. You played 12 games, in some cases 13 games. That tells whether you should have a bye or not because you won the AC freaking C. Are you kidding me? Well, they didn't get a bye, but still.
But you get what I'm saying. Like
Boise State?
Yeah. They had no business getting a bye.
No. Boise State gets a bye, but Texas does not.
The only thing people should have complained about this year in the top 12 is who got the bye. The teams that are there all deserve to be there. I don't care what the outcome was. And if you want to say that, Oregon had the worst showing of any of them, in my opinion, as a number one overall seed to lose to Ohio State the way they did. Nothing wrong with losing. Boise State had a better show. Like, these teams that everybody wanted, Arizona State had a better showing than a lot of these teams. So to say that team doesn't belong, this team doesn't belong because they won or lost is BS. There's only one team that's going to win them all, and that's what Ohio State did this year.
Well, here's the problem, and you have this in the NCAA tournament as well. It's a 12-team playoff. Yeah, 14, 15 teams deserve to go, but it's only a 12-team playoff. We're not going to expand it again in the interest of fairness. It's a 12-team playoff. Keep it that way. Do better.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that lost in our society now? Do better. Why is that lost? Well, we should change the rules to let this guy in.
Why?
Because that's what mom says.
We've been doing it for everything else.
Yeah, I mean, just listen.
Seriously, do it to everything else.
Like, it's, yeah. I mean, I've listened to so many Bengal fans bitch that their team's not in the postseason because Kansas City laid down in the last week, and I'm going, did you guys watch this year? Like, your team sucks.
Kansas City was supposed to put themselves in harm's way so that they can get into the playoffs. No. Yeah.
No, they're sitting in the AFC Championship now waiting on Buffalo to get there. They ain't worried about Cincinnati at all. I mean, come on. They had the easiest schedule and you still missed the playoffs. Shut up.
So what are we doing with the playoffs? I mean, what changes would you make, if any?
With this current?
Yeah.
I wouldn't change anything, right? I like it. I like the way it is. I mean, maybe not the conference winners, you know. But, I mean, I'm not even sure about that. Because we do it in the NFL where you have, you know, weak division winners, you know.
I think that shouldn't happen in the NFL. Either,
I know, you know what I'm saying. But yeah. It does because, you know, there's got to be some reward for winning your conference.
Getting in.
I mean, I think that's it, getting in the postseason. Like, there's no reason to me that a 7-9 team should ever host a 7-10 now.
It was 7-9 when the Seahawks did it.
Yeah. The same thing. I mean, the Chargers were 8-8 when the Colts went there. It's 12-4. Yeah. And guess what? Both home teams won. It just shows you what an advantage it is to play at home. And that's the only, like, if my only gripe is who gets the bye, then I have hardly any gripe at all. I think it's, let it play out. I don't know why we have something good and everybody goes, okay, it's great. How do we fix it? What do you mean? You just said it was great. You don't need to fix it.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. And what's trending? I think if you could predict, look into the future, your crystal ball, Ed, who wins the national championship next year?
Oh, I wouldn't even venture a guess at that. I'd have to look at everybody, see who's coming back. I mean, some of the favorites, some of the young players, I'd say Texas. Maybe my guess.
Jeremy?
Is there a Manning quarterbacking a really good team next year?
Texas. That hurts.
Yeah, I'm taking Texas.
Yeah, because they won a lot of national championships in their past.
No, hear me out on this. If you haven't seen Arch Manning, kid's fantastic.
He's the business.
He's going to be really good. Yeah, and to me, Texas recruits unbelievably well. Their coach has recruited unbelievably well there. They have so much talent. Yeah. So I do like them to get back. Georgia, I think they're going to reload, you know that much. And Ohio State, depending on who they keep and who leaves, it's going to be another good team. But he made the run this year with his fake beard. But Ryan Day, hats off to you for getting it done. There are a lot of Ohio State fans that wanted him fired the past couple of years. I don't know that he's the guy that takes you back to a national championship. They were just the best team in the postseason.
You're loaded.
Yeah, I'm not trying to. Again, I know it makes it sound like I'm diminishing what he's done. I need to see more of it, because if we looked at the outliers. Winning a championship under Ryan O'Day, to me, is an outlier.
I think the team that will win the national championship next year, I don't believe I'm saying this, is the team that lost the national championship game last night. I think Notre Dame is back on top and wins it all next year.
Yeah,
I'm going with Notre Dame, yeah. I feel like there's a groundswell there. There's some momentum there. And I really believe he has something going.
I think it went way further than I thought they would. And that was pretty cool.
I don't know. It's weird saying this. I don't know that Notre Dame gets the same level of recruits that other teams get. If you looked at the final four teams this year and who had all the five-star recruits,
mm-hmm.
Ohio State dwarfed everyone. Texas was just a few behind them. And then when you looked at Notre Dame and Penn State, they had like three or four five-star recruits. And I'm not saying you have to have five-star recruits to win. There's just always going to be better talent at the other schools. Yeah. And part of that might be, and I know people have brought this up, Notre Dame and how tough it is to get in there at times. Yeah. You have to be a good student. You have to have a lot of things go your way to get in. Same thing with Cal.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Hey, man, let's go out to Buffalo Zoe in Cockeysville. What's up, Buffalo Zoe?
Brother Rob, how you doing, man?
Doing well. How are you, man?
I'm good, fellas. You was the finishing piece of me painting this town blue, bro.
Go ahead.
I just had
no Buffalo Zone. I'm sorry, man. We got to get up on a break right now because we got shovels up next. Tony Taylor's lands in Toronto, and on his other side, shovels. What you got, Ed?
That was so rotten. I got a shovel for the Notre Dame fan who operated a golf cart after the championship game.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS, 1057 The Fan. Shovels next.